If you're like me, you have a real burden to see society impacted with the gospel of Jesus. But friends, there are some pitfalls that we must avoid.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is great to be with you today on this Wednesday, which means our focus is on the world, on moral and cultural issues. Michael Brown, thank you so much for tuning into the broadcast today. This entire hour is going to be very important in terms of laying out principles that we need to follow and pitfalls that we need to avoid if we want to be world changers. If you're only catching the first 10 minutes of this broadcast, by all means, go to our website, askdrbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, and later today, you can catch the entire hour. And I'll try to make every minute count so that if you get 45 minutes to listen to me or 21 minutes, that each of those minutes will be valuable and impacting for you. I won't be taking calls today, but please weigh in with your comments and thoughts again on the website, askdrbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, or by going to our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook, where there'll be a lively discussion taking place already. Now, some of you have the mentality that we are passing through this world, which of course we all agree with as followers of Jesus. We are passing through this world. This world is not our eternal home. And again, absolutely true. We agree with that. There will be a new heaven and new earth, and that will be our eternal home. But the world as we know it, and this physical life as we know it, no, this is not our eternal home. This is not the expression of eternal life, just living 70, 80, 90 years here in this world. Many have that mentality, though, and take it another level and say, because we are just passing through this world, then the most important thing we can do is share the gospel of Jesus with other people and, quote, get them saved. Okay, I'm still in agreement. However, people take that even further and say, therefore, we shouldn't get involved with any social issues because those are just distractions. I mean, after all, everything's going to burn one day, right? After all, this world is going to burn and be renovated, reconfigured by God. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So we don't need to worry about these things. They're a distraction. Well, I don't think anybody actually lives like that. It's often an objection why we don't need to think about caring for the poor, why we don't need to think about social justice, why we don't need to think about social activity in other ways, abortion and human trafficking and things like that. What can we do as followers of Jesus about that? Hey, we just need to get people saved and get them ready for heaven. But nobody actually lives like that. Did you eat a meal today? Well, if you're just passing through this world, why do that? Ah, because we still live in this world. Are you trying to raise your kids the right way? Or did you just let them run crazy? Did you try to educate them? Why? Well, because we live in this world. So it's very, very simple. Because we are citizens of heaven, because we have eternal life, and when we physically die, we will go to be with the Lord forever. Because of that, we live in this world with a certain perspective. Because of that, we live in light of eternity in this world, and we recognize that this is our opportunity to demonstrate the character of Jesus in this world. This is our opportunity to bring tangible good in this world, knowing that what happens in this world can have eternal implications. No, we do not put our treasures in earthly things. Our treasures are in heaven, and that's where our heart must be. However, we live in this world. We eat and drink and sleep. We need food, clothing, and shelter. And we do our best to be ambassadors of grace and goodness and mercy and help to hurting humanity. The problem is we often get caught up with social things in a way that is unhealthy. And I want us to avoid some pitfalls today. Stay tuned. Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Today's broadcast is very important. I want to lay out some really critical foundational truths and hopefully give you some spiritual insights so that if you have a burden to impact society, you're so concerned, say, about the slaughter of the unborn through abortion. You're so concerned, say, about injustice in the society. You're so concerned, say, about the onslaught of gay activists in terms of attack on religious freedoms and so on. You're concerned about other aspects of social justice, and you focus on that, and you're burdened about it. You pray for it. I want to give you some guidelines. These are important things for me to remember and all of us to remember to help us do things in a way that will glorify the Lord and bear fruit and not get us off track. I won't be taking calls today. I do have a very important resource that we want to make available to you today. We've put a package together. The number to call for that, so just jot this down, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Let me go through a number of potential pitfalls in our desire to see society impacted and changed. First pitfall is this: forgetting that our battle is spiritual. Forgetting that our battle is spiritual. Most all of us know the words of Paul that he wrote in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And listen to what he says there, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That's our enemy. An abortion doctor or an abortion provider, whatever nice term they want to put on it, as much as we absolutely categorically reject what that person is doing and say that they are culpable in the sight of God for the shedding of innocent blood. And we want to do what we can to see abortion eradicated and to see hope for the moms and hope for that generation of kids to be raised up. That abortion provider, to use their terms, is not our enemy. The devil is our enemy, and the devil hates that person too. Hates the nurse working in the abortion mill as well. Paul says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Many of you know that God really burdened me with issues of gay activism some years ago. And he spoke this word to me, reach out and resist. Reach out to the people, meaning the homosexual community, to those who identify as gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender. Reach out to them with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. Now, I understand that the great majority of homosexual men and women are not activists, and the main, quote, agenda they have is just let me live my life. Let me live my life and just accept me for who I am and don't bother me. That would be, quote, the agenda of the great majority of gay men and women in this country. But there are activists among them. There are activist organizations. There are activist individuals. And those activist organizations and individuals have clearly articulated agendas. They have these agendas. In their mind, they're for the best. I say, in most cases, they're for the worst. However, hear me. Those gay activists are not my enemies. Those gay activists are not people, I hate that, I'm mad at them, I'm out to get that person. No. It's a strange thing that the more people oppose me and the more people stand against the things that we believe are right, and they're sincere, I'm sincere, they say I'm wrong, I say they're wrong. I go back to the authority of Scripture. Either they interpret it differently or they reject it. But the more opposition that they provide, or the more they write articles slamming me, the more my heart goes out to them. They might say, brother, we don't need your pity. Brother, hey, buddy, we don't need your pity. We don't need your compassion. I understand they feel that way. I don't get angry with them in some hateful way because I realize that Jesus died for them the same as he died for me. I realize that they actually believe they're fighting for a good cause, and I say they're deceived, and they think that either I'm deceived or I'm evil. Bottom line is, they're not my enemies. The devil is my enemy. The devil is the one who wants to destroy them and to destroy me. The devil is the one who hates gays and straights, hates us all. And Jesus is the one who died for us all. So we must remember that our battle is spiritual more than anything. Now, there's much more to it. There's much more to it. That also means that the greatest warfare I can engage in is not words, although words are important. It's not action, although action is important. I'm talking about going out and doing something on the streets or so on, getting involved in the schools. Those things are important. But much more important is what I do alone with God in prayer. Because ultimately, if I can touch God, and if I can be strong in the Lord, then that can bring about the greatest changes to society. Now, it's not either and. S.D. Gordon said, prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. You could pray for 20 years for the salvation of your neighborhood, but if you and others don't go out and evangelize, almost no one in that neighborhood is going to get saved. Conversely, if you evangelize day and night but didn't back it with prayer, you would see very few saved. Yes, preaching the gospel is spiritual work. Yes, feeding the poor in Jesus' name is spiritual work. Yes, getting involved with your kids' education and standing up for what's right in the schools is spiritual work. But it's easy to do some of those things in the natural. It's easy to just be a good talker and try to sell Jesus, and that's your evangelism. It's easy to be a parent and burden for what's happening in your schools, and you get aggressive and nasty and push hard. Look, we can't fight spiritual battles in the flesh. We can't overcome evil with evil. We can't defeat anger with anger. These are spiritual battles first and foremost. So as I see the government go in wrong directions, as I see the media and go in wrong directions, as I see others go in wrong directions, I'm reminded that there is the world, that people operate by another spirit, by another mentality, and that they do not worship the same God that I worship. Yeah, they'll call me bigoted and small-minded and some traditional hate-filled fundamentalist. They'll call me what they want. But that's because it's a spiritual battle. And that's first and foremost where we need to put our focus, friends, is spiritual warfare. Oh, warfare. See, these Christians are out to get it. No. Anyone who reads the Bible and understands what Jesus is saying, what Paul is saying, understands we're not talking about physical warfare. The warfare we're talking about is getting on our knees alone in our homes and praying. The warfare we're talking about is saying no to food and drink and separating ourselves to God and fasting. The warfare we're talking about is getting sin and junk and unclean things out of our own lives. You know, we would make massive advances in the work that we're doing if we simply lived what we preached. Ooh, did I meddle a little bit there? In other words, if we lived with purity, if we walked in love, if we put on the character of Jesus by taking into the depths of our being who he is and how he lived, and then we relied more and more on the Spirit, the results that we would get would be dramatically increased. Now, I want to quickly give you a list of everything I'm going to cover. Pitfall number one, forgetting that our battle is spiritual. Pitfall number two, leaning on the arm of the flesh. Number three, mistaking patriotism for the kingdom of God. Number four, relying on the political system. Number five, becoming one track in our focus. Number six, taking our eyes off of eternal issues. Number seven, extremism. And number eight, hindering our gospel witness through activism. I'm going to be covering all of that. But very, very important resource offer we've put together for you today. One of the most popular teaching series I've ever done is on spiritual warfare. 12 hours of teaching in eight talks, eight sessions on one CD to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player. It's only $20 plus postage. What we're doing today is when you get that, we are also giving you another $20 series on Jesus Revolution. And is there ever a right time to break the law? And maybe others can live a certain way. Why can't you? A real powerful call, eight more messages. So all of this, over 20 hours of teaching, $20, and we'll pay the postage. Spiritual Warfare Series, Jesus Revolution Series on CD for your computer or MP3 player. But call right now to order, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to our online bookstore at AskDrBrown.org. Just click on the online bookstore. God of light,
hear our cry. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. What we're talking about on this Wednesday being the day where we focus on the world, moral, cultural issues, what we're talking about this Wednesday is very, very important. I'm not taking any calls today, but please weigh in with your comments on my website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire, or on our Facebook page, AskDrBrown, Ask Dr. Brown, one word, on Facebook. Weigh in to the lively discussion already taking place today. We're talking about pitfalls as we have a burden to change the world, as we have a burden to impact society. There are pitfalls that we must avoid. First one, forgetting that our battle is spiritual. Second pitfall related to this, leaning on the arm of the flesh. Leaning on the arm of the flesh. What do I mean? Well, if we can just get enough people together, we can change this. If we can get enough people standing in front of the abortion clinic, we can change things. If we can get enough people to sign this petition to the government, we can change things. If we could just raise enough money to fund this work, we can change things. If whatever it is, whatever the arm of the flesh, if we can just get the media to get behind what we're doing, if we can just get influential business people to embrace our cause, something could happen. Now, please understand me. All those things could be important. In other words, having a godly, compassionate presence in front of abortion mills will make a massive difference, especially coupled with a plan to offer hope to the moms and to the dads and concrete plans to help with those kids who are going to be born. But yes, having people there will make a difference. However, you can have 10,000 people there. And if the Spirit of God is not at work in you, and if you're not demonstrating the love of God, and if Jesus is not being exalted, and if there's not prayer behind it, you may do more harm than good. You may get more public sentiment and opinion against what you're doing. When we show up with several hundred people at a gay pride event, we pray, we fast in advance, and then we do our best in the midst of saying we differ with you to demonstrate the love of God. We had a local gay activist tell us that our recent event, or previous year, 2011, where we handed out a couple thousand plus bottles of water that said Jesus loves you and had a link to a website, God Has a Better Way, and moms and dads and families just walked in the midst of a gay pride event with smiles and offered love and handed out these bottles of water. And if we could have a conversation or pray with someone, we did it. A local gay activist told me that was the model protest, he said. That was something they talk about a real demonstration of Christianity, that they knew we had differences with them and came in their midst demonstrating the love of God. We can lean on the arm of the flesh and think, if we can just get enough people behind us and funds behind us and influence behind us, we can bring about change. You can't bring about spiritual change through natural means. You say, man, you just sound like some hyper-spiritual guy. No, I'm an activist. I believe in going out and doing. I believe in being involved. I believe if you got a burden, then live this thing out and act this thing out, and yeah, take it to the streets. But listen, CNN could embrace our cause for social and moral change on a host of issues, or MSNBC, I'm thinking of very liberal broadcasting networks, they could embrace our cause and it would make a difference, but it would ultimately not accomplish our goals unless God was working in the midst of it. Just having this political commentator embrace your cause is not going to bring about the type of change that we desire to see. Number one, pitfall, forgetting that our battle is spiritual. Number two, leaning on the arm of the flesh. Number three, this is a biggie. Are you ready? Mistaking patriotism for the kingdom of God. Now, I want to speak clearly to say that I appreciate the blessings that God has brought to the world through America. And I believe that there is a destiny and calling on our nation. And I deeply appreciate those right now serving our country around the world, those who have been wounded, those who have sacrificed, those who have been killed, fighting for our freedoms and fighting for the freedoms of others around the world. Just a few days ago, we celebrated Veterans Day. I do not demean that, diminish that for a split second. I would not be able to do what I'm doing now unless people of courage and sacrifice had fought for our freedoms in previous years and previous generations. At the same time, I recognize there's a difference between saying God bless America and saying God your kingdom come to America. Oh, no, I do not want God to curse America. And it grieves me when I've heard words like that and angry preachers calling out for God to curse America. No, I want God to bless America. But often we just want to wave our flags and say, USA, 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 whereas God has issues with USA, USA, USA. God has issues with our worldliness. God has issues with our sexual immorality. God has issues with our injustice and double standards. God has issues with our hypocrisy. God has issues with our shedding of innocent blood. God has issues with many things that are wrong in our midst. If we just say, God bless America, that could mean make us bigger and better and stronger and more powerful and more influential. Whereas God's heart and what we should really be praying, amen to God bless America if we mean it rightly, but what we should be praying even more accurately is, God, your kingdom come to America. Because that means radical upheaval, and that means radical change. And that means God confronting us with our sin and our iniquity and our injustice. That means God changing us so that he can bring blessing to us. Often we mistake patriotism for the kingdom of God. Friends, God is looking with one agenda through the whole earth. He is not fighting primarily for the fulfillment of the American dream. And America is the center of God's universe. And America is the center of the earth. No, God is looking through the lens of Great Commission. Jesus died for our sins, rose from the dead, sent the Spirit so that we could become disciples and make disciples and be part of God's family. That's God's agenda. That's what we must give ourselves to. Friends, any of the broadcasts you miss, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. You can listen to it entirely and take advantage of today's special resource offer. One of our most important teaching series, 12 hours on CD to listen to on your computer or MP3 player on spiritual warfare, some of the most essential foundational scriptural truths you've ever heard and need to know. When you get that, we're going to pay the postage and give you another $20 series free, my teaching on Jesus Revolution that might just rock your world and light a flame in your heart. $20 postage paid for all those materials. Call to order 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the online bookstore for the special offer. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Let's exalt Jesus as Lord.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. It's Wednesday. Wednesday means most weeks we focus on the world, moral, cultural issues. I have a burden, a calling to be a world changer. If your heart burns like my heart burns, you do as well. How do we do it? How do we avoid the pitfalls of trying to do things at our own natural strength? How can we see God's kingdom impact society without falling into the same traps that others have fallen into in the past and mixing flesh with spirit, or mixing an earthly agenda with an eternal agenda in a wrong way? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. I'm not taking calls today. This entire broadcast is devoted to discussing pitfalls for those who have a world-changing burden. You're grieved by the sin in the society. Maybe you're grieved by all the trash on the media. Maybe you're grieved by the latest report of kids sold into child pornography, some horror like that. Maybe you're grieved by the ongoing plague of abortion in our land. Maybe you're grieved of the breakdown of the family in the inner city, and you want to bring about change. We can often have a good motivation, but go about things in a wrong way. And I've spent a half hour discussing this already, and I'm going to continue this next half hour, but I'm going to recap briefly for those just tuning in now. And then I want to remind you, you can get the entire broadcast, 1 hour, by just going to AskDrBrown.org, clicking on the Line of Fire later today. You can listen to the entire broadcast. And rather than having two separate hours of material today, we've got 1 hour, repeat it twice in different parts of our listening network. First pitfall that we often fall into is forgetting that our battle is spiritual. We're not fighting people. Our ultimate battle is spiritual. A second pitfall we often fall into is leaning on the arm of the flesh, trying harder, working harder. We can get more funds, more votes, more people. Those things are important, but they are important in a secondary way. What is of primary importance is aligning ourselves with God's principles and doing, quote, war. The type of war we do is not anger, hatred, intimidation, violence. It's spiritual war. Doing that in prayer, doing that through love, doing that through the principles of Jesus. Another pitfall is mistaking patriotism for the kingdom of God, thinking that God's great goal in the earth is the advancement of America, whereas God's great goal in the earth is the coming of the kingdom of God. God does not just want to bless America to make us bigger, better, stronger, more influential. He wants to change America so that we can be a positive influence to the world. Pitfall number four, and man, I have been all over this, not just in recent days and weeks and months, but for years, relying on the political system. Relying on the political system. I am absolutely not looking to the Democrats or the Republicans or another party, in terms of another political party, to bring about the social moral change I believe must happen in America. The political system plays a role. The parties play a role. But we have had pro-life Republicans in the White House, and we have not seen the end of abortion on demand in America. We have had pro-social justice Democrats in the White House, and we have not seen a transformation of all the poverty in America. In fact, it's gotten worse. What we need to recognize is that the type of change we desire to see is only going to come through the gospel, through God's people catching the burden, catching the vision, and going out and making a difference. Through God's people saying, Lord, here I am, send me, use me. Through here, look, okay, I'm short on time. I'm going to come back to this. Again, not taking calls today, but weigh in on the website. We've got a conversation going on right now on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. All right, whole lot more to come. Stay tuned.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it's possible to have good intentions and go about things the wrong way. You know, it's possible to have a real burden from the Lord and yet get caught up in the flesh. You know, it's possible to have a calling from the Lord and not live that out in the fullness of the gospel. Michael Brown, welcome back to The Line of Fire as we talk about pitfalls to our calling and burden to be world changers. I'm not taking calls. It's always my impulse to give out the number. But please go to our website, weigh in with your comments there, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Anything that you miss in the broadcast today, you can catch the entire hour, I believe, is very important. And then a very important resource package we're making available. We'll share that with you later in the show. Let me explain a little bit more what I mean about relying on the political system to bring about change. Hopefully all of us who are followers of Jesus recognize the evil and the wrong of abortion. And if you've ever looked at the horrors of it, looked at the remainders of body parts of babies, or seen a 4D ultrasound and the miracle of what's happening in the womb, you recognize the horror of this. And we're upset. Many of us are upset with the present administration, with Mr. Obama being so radically pro-abortion, and now with some of the healthcare mandates and how that's forcing Christian businesses to do things against their ethical conscience. We're grieved over that. Let's say that we had a pro-life Republican in the White House instead. It doesn't mean that there's going to be any less abortion in America. And it doesn't mean that Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned. And it certainly doesn't mean there's going to be an incentive and a reason for a woman to not abort her baby, and hope given to the hopeless, and a path for another generation of kids to be born to those that have not wanted them. That, yeah, the government can do certain righteous things, but we've had 30 years, 40 years now, almost 40 years of Roe v. Wade from 1973 to 2012 now. And it hasn't been overturned or radically changed in any way through any of the people we've had in office. What's my point? We can't rely on the political system to get it done. If we were praying as we should be praying and involved in front of the abortion mills and working with pregnancy crisis centers and making plans for adoption and helping in different ways, we'd see a radical downturn in abortion. We absolutely would if we would be a presence and if we would make a difference. The political system has its place, but especially in our current American system and with the divided houses and Congress and president between the parties and so on, we're going to see very limited change. And if we elected certain officials that were going to be strongly pro-life, unless there was a strong grassroots church movement to move this forward, the thing would quickly get reversed as well. And when I speak about leaning on the arm of the flesh or forgetting that our battle is spiritual, look, Jacob writes this in the first chapter of his book, man's anger doesn't accomplish God's righteous will. There's a burden we have from the Lord that can stir us to righteous indignation, but just getting angry, it's not going to change things. Okay, pitfall number five, becoming one track in our focus. Pitfall number five, becoming one track in our focus. I spent years researching and writing the book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. I've written many articles having to do with gay activism. I've done public debates with gay activists or a professor advocating same-sex so-called marriage. I've done that. I've talked about these issues on the radio. But this is not and cannot be my one and only focus. If it is, if it became that, I would get out of balance and get off track. You say, but Mike, doesn't God call certain people to specific things? Yes, but they must be called to that in the context of something larger. In my case, I'm called to reach out to the homosexual community with compassion while resisting gay activism with courage. That's part of my calling. I'm called to help stir revival and awakening in the church in America. I'm called to help equip and teach and deepen people in God and the Word. I'm called to reach out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm called to help raise up and send out missionaries to the nations. These are many of the different things I'm called to. And this radio broadcast, The Line of Fire, serves as a hub for what we do, serves as a voice for all the different things we do, and as the basic hub of our entire ministry. And I'm not the one to do all of that all the way. No, I have a role in these different things. But if my sole calling, was to combat human trafficking or to combat abortion or to combat gay activism, if that was my sole calling in the Lord, that's the assignment that he gave me, or say during the days of slavery, to eradicate slavery. If I separated that from a burden for worship and a burden for prayer, if I separated that from a vision for the Great Commission and to share the gospel with others, if I separated that from the importance of family and healthy marriage, etc. In other words, that became the only thing that mattered, I would get out of balance and I would lose some of God's eternal perspective. So whatever your calling is, your ultimate focus should be Jesus. Your ultimate focus should be loving God, heart, soul, mind, strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, even if the moment you meet with the Lord in prayer and worship, he begins to give you strategy for the thing he's called you to do. Even if, as you meet with the Lord and are stirred by the word, he's speaking to you all the time about these other courses of action with your primary aspect of calling. Fine, amen to that. But look, radio is a major, major part of my life. My daily schedule, my travel schedule, my life revolves around being on live radio with you 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. My life revolves around that. It's the primary ministry stewardship God has given me. However, it is a subset to my life in God and is a subset to larger ministry. So beware of becoming one track in your focus. So forgetting that our battle is spiritual, that was one. Two, leaning on the arm of the flesh. Three, mistaking patriotism for the kingdom of God. Four, relying on the political system. Five, becoming one track in our focus. Six, taking our eyes off of eternal issues. If I had the choice between feeding a poor person and leaving them, or feeding a poor person and introducing them to Jesus, obviously, I would take the second route. Now, if you said, well, what if you could just share the gospel with them or feed them? You had one choice. Well, if I only had one choice, I've got 30 seconds, and I could either feed them or tell them about Jesus. That's the only contact that we're going to have for the rest of my life with them, and they're going to die in the next 5 minutes. Well, you tell them about Jesus. That's not a choice, though, that 99.99999% of the time we have to make. My point is not that ridiculously simple. My point is this: regardless of what is happening in this world, I want to keep my focus locked in on eternity. In other words, if I have a burden to stand against gay activism, it is coupled with my burden to reach gay and lesbian people with the gospel. Yeah, there's a holy tension there for sure. And there can be difficulties in reaching out because of the way that we might be perceived. Nonetheless, I carry a burden for both. My greatest burden is to see gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender identified men and women come to know God in an intimate, life-changing, life-transforming way, where sexual orientation is not the greatest issue. Knowing God is the greatest issue. In everything I do, I want to make sure that my heart continues to beat for the Great Commission, for raising up, sending out missionaries around the world, for sharing the gospel with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I want to make sure that I'm living in the light of eternity and recognizing what ultimately matters to God. So we're standing up for issues of justice now, because this does matter. Just like the issue of slavery mattered in its day, even though there were many slaves that knew Jesus and were going to heaven. Those are issues that matter because we live in this world, and here's where we reflect God's standards and God's ways in this world. But I want to do it in light of eternity. All right, more to come As I was praying and thinking about the best resource to get in your hands, one of our most popular teachings is on spiritual warfare, 12 hours in 8 sessions on one CD to listen to on your computer or MP3 player. It's only $20 plus postage. Today, if you get it, I'm going to give you free an additional series with 8 messages of mine on Jesus Revolution. Do we fear God or do we fear men? When do we take a stand? Is there ever a time for civil disobedience? Practical, life-changing material, $20 postage paid for $20 for 20 hours or more of teaching. Here's the number to call right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to our online bookstore and you can order there, or call 1-800-278-9978. Life-changing resource is better than half price.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm looking at the clock, and I think we are on pace to get through this important topic today on The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, thanks for calling. Not taking your calls today. Back to calls as usual tomorrow, God willing. We've had a lot of time to discuss a whole lot of issues already this week on the air. But I'm talking about pitfalls for those of us who have a burden to see social change, those of us who are burdened by things in our society, injustice and wrong, that we feel need to be confronted. There are ways we can do it that are right. There are ways we can do it that are wrong. We've got to learn from past generations. We've got to learn from our own mistakes. And if we're going to see God's will done, let's do it God's way. Again, not taking your calls, but any part of the show you've missed, just go to AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, and shortly after the broadcast is over, you can listen to the entire show for free. I'm going to list again the primary pitfalls for those of us who have a burden to see society changed and impacted. Number one, forgetting that our battle is spiritual. Number two, leaning on the arm of the flesh. Number three, mistaking patriotism for the kingdom of God. Number four, relying on the political system. Number five, becoming one track in our focus. Number six, taking our eyes off of eternal issues. Number seven, extremism. Now, there is extremism that is negative and destructive. There's something else that's called normal Christianity or biblical Christianity or biblical messianic Jewish faith or legitimately following Jesus' disciples that many are going to call extremism or fanaticism. I understand that. I've said for many years that what the world calls fanaticism and much of the church calls extremism, God calls normal. I understand that. But there is extremism. There is something where we get fanatically moved to do a particular thing, and now we get in the flesh, and we do far more harm than good. John Brown, give you that example. John Brown had a tremendous burden in the mid-1800s to see slavery eradicated. I watched a documentary about him that was moving and chilling and disturbing. He would welcome runaway slaves in his home and treat them with compassion and refer to them as Mr. or Miss. They'd never been spoken to like that in their lives. And he did this out of a deep, deep Christian burden. But when he then said, okay, we're going to take up arms and start killing the Confederate soldiers, and now we're going to take over the armory, we're going to go into Virginia, and we're going to take over the armory there, and we're going to lead a revolt, and through violence put an end to this, he went beyond what was right. Now, I know a civil war was fought. It's a terrible shame that a civil war was fought. It cost horrific bloodshed in our nation, and it's a certain level of judgment for the horrors of the slave trade in our nation, especially a nation that professed to be Christian in its roots and origins in many ways. But hear me, John Brown had a tremendous heart on the one hand to see the horrors of slavery ended. On the other hand, he became an extremist and ultimately did more harm than good. Now, hear me. John Brown is still revered for the heroism and courage and the things he wanted to stand for. and the values that he espoused on the one hand, but the way he went to carry it out terribly tarnished his legacy and brought reproach to the cause in many ways as well. Look, if you say, well, abortion is the killing of the unborn, therefore I'm going to burn down an abortion clinic when nobody's in it. I mean, people have actually done these things. That's extremism. That's extremism. That is now trying to fight a social, spiritual battle through fleshly means and through destructive fleshly means. Even if no one is physically hurt in the process, that's not God's way. That's not God's will. That's not how things are to be done. So extremism. And that's why it's important to do what we do prayerfully and with godly and wise counsel. That's how we can make our difference. And then lastly, hindering our gospel witness through activism. Now, I have many friends and colleagues who are actively involved in standing against abortion. And they are in front of abortion mills week in, week out. You know, for years I referred to them as abortion clinics, and I thought, why do that? Why dignify what's happening in there by saying abortion clinics? They're in front of these abortion mills, and they're there week in, week out. But can I tell you that the folks that I work with and my friends that are involved with this, and when our students are involved, they are ultimately preaching Jesus through this, and people are getting saved through their witness. There have been security guards at the abortion mills who have gotten saved. There have been workers who have come under conviction and said, I can't work here anymore. There have been people coming in to have abortions, mothers and the fathers that are going to abort these babies, and they come under conviction, and they come back to the Lord, or they get saved. And I have had more opportunity to share the gospel with homosexual men and women since I've gotten a burden to be involved combating the activism than I ever did before. You say, yeah, but you could do so much better if you got away from the activism. Well, not everyone is called to stand in the same way that I stand. However, in the midst of this, as people get to know me, as people get to understand my heart, as I have opportunities to share and be with people one-on-one, then ultimately the activism is a platform for the preaching of the gospel. Yes, it's a fine line. And yes, there are some who say, okay, look, you deal with the activism and we'll deal with sharing the gospel as long as we all embrace one another's values. In other words, in sharing the gospel, we're not going to lower our standards of right and wrong, right? Or in our activism, we're not going to lessen our burden to reach everyone with the message of Jesus and recognize that Jesus died for all people alike. Friends, these are important perspectives to keep, and I want to encourage you to understand more about the warfare that we're engaged in, because it's not physical and it's not with people, and God forbid, it's not violent. It's spiritual. That's where there is violence, meaning in prayer, in crying out to God, and saying no to the work of Satan. And that produces in us a profound love and gentleness for other people. Let me encourage you to get this resource, my spiritual warfare series. It's 12 hours of teaching and 8 sessions on one CD. Now, this is to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player, all right? $20, we'll pay the postage, but hang on. Yeah, like one of these special infomercials, hang on. I also want to get into your hands my 8 sessions on revolution. Do we fear God or do we fear man? To pray or not to pray in the public schools. We hit on critically important subjects. Others can live a certain way. Maybe we can't because we're called to follow Jesus in a unique way. That's another $20 series. It's yours free when you order the Spiritual Warfare Series, all right? So you get 20 hours plus teaching, $20 postage paid. Call today, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to our online bookstore, AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line, if you want to see victory in the Spirit, you cannot walk in the flesh. And ultimately, our focus, our attention must be on King Jesus.